Next, this morning, we'll welcome in Congressman Colin Peterson from Minnesota. Colin was up in our neck of the woods of Albany and made the trip up in early March. We had a dairy discussion, which a lot of concern regarding dairy and MPP and where we're going and Farm Bill. And he took the time for a two-hour live show, and we appreciate that. And that's what Colin has done for many years. He's very visible, very vocal. And we always appreciate his viewpoint and his frankness as well when it comes to agriculture. Colin Peterson, good morning and welcome.
The new Cliff Mitchell. Most of them have no idea what that means. Well, good morning, and I don't know. Joe said we had a meeting, a dairy meeting up in Albany, which is the heart of dairy country in Minnesota. And one good thing that happened in the Farm Bill process is we did get the changes to the dairy program in the bill. So I was kind of proud of myself. I got the dairy changes and the CRP changes in the bill, even though I voted against it. So in the dairy area, we raised the margin protection system to $9 above a feed cost. I don't know why the Senate didn't do that when they did the CR. They should have. I told them to do it, but we were able to raise the $9 to $9 without costing any additional money. So what that means is you're going to be able to protect yourself at $17 milk up to 230 cows, which is about the cost of production. Some people say it's more than that, but some people say $17 is too much. But, you know, I think it's what's needed given the current climate. So the bill that was put in the CR, you know, is going to pay out about $20,000 if you buy the maximum coverage. I think it's $18,000, whatever it is. And the only reason it's going to pay out is that they're going to make it retroactive. So when you buy the coverage, you know you're going to get paid. And so after you buy the coverage, the rest of the year, you're not going to get anything. So the only money you're going to get out of this bill is going to be because it was made retroactive, which I think could potentially come back and haunt us, because it's like you burn down your house and then you go and buy insurance and you get paid. You know, that's kind of how this is working. But, you know, given the straits of dairy farmers, I think any money that they can get is helpful. But the $9 puts us in the money going probably 60% of the time. So hopefully that's enough to get farmers to participate in the program. We'll see. They hate the program. I don't know how many farmers have told me I'm never signing up for that again. But we'll see what happens. The other good thing about what's in the bill for dairy farmers is we took the cap off the LGM, and we're in the process of authorizing a new revenue insurance program in RMA that's going to be covered on you can cover milk the same way you cover crops. And the way we set this up is you can buy coverage on all three programs overlapping if you want to. So there's going to be plenty of options there for dairy farmers to protect their situation. What's not in the bill is what a lot of dairy farmers want, and that is they want a check from the government. And those days are over, you know, and I keep telling them, you know, we're not going to be no more MILC type programs. There's going to be no money from the government, you know, in just paid out, but some of them still think that there is going to be, so we'll see. The other thing that was in the bill that I worked on is the CRP increase to 29 million acres, up from 24 million. And the way we accomplished that was by reforming the program. So we've been paying too much money for some of the CRP. We've been actually taking land away from farmers because of what we're paying. So what this change will do, it would limit the CRP payments to 80% of the rental rate in that county. And I think this is a market-based approach to get the right land in and the wrong land out. So nobody's going to put good farmland into the CRP at 80%. So I think it's a better way to do it than having a government try to do it, because the government has been unable to do it with the EBI benefits and so forth. The National Grain and Feed Association, they wanted a provision put in there that said they were going to give USDA the authority to limit prime farmland from going into the CRP. I said, if you want to make sure that something doesn't work, you do that. You tell me how USDA could ever identify what prime farmland is. You know, we've been trying to identify what a wetland is since 1985, and we still have not been able to do it. You know, so, I mean, I guarantee you, you know, how are they going to define prime farmland in the Red River Valley versus West Texas or whatever, you know? So I think a better way to do it is to put this limitation in, and we'll see how it works. So that having said, you know, this bill that is being put forward in the House is not, you know, I don't know, they're probably going to be able to pass it. I'm not sure. We'll see. But the bill as it's currently constituted will not become the law of the land. The food stamp stuff that's in the bill will not be accepted in the Senate at all. And, you know, I told the chairman that a month ago. It's been corroborated by Pat Roberts and Debbie Stabenow that they're not going near this food stamp stuff that's in the bill. Yet it's in there. So because of that, mainly, there will be 100% opposition from the Democrats on the floor. And if they pass the bill, they're going to have to pass it with Republican votes. If it goes to conference in its current form, I will not support the House bill. I will support the Senate. And so we'll have a conference where you'll have three against one. And we'll see how that works. So this is a misguided process that's going on here. I've told the chairman that. I think it's a mistake. It's not going to be successful. But he's the chairman. And he's doing what he's doing. And that's where we're at. So that's all I know. Beyond that, I'm a mushroom. So, yes, sir. You can't put lipstick on a pig, okay, and have it come out in a good situation. This bill is not fixable, you know, and I don't want to get into the quagmire. I mean, we shouldn't even be doing this. So what, you know, so my recommendation is going to be no amendments on the floor. You know, if they think this is such a good idea, have at it, you know. I think it's a big mistake. Yes, ma'am.
Have Democrats considered writing their own
No. You know, we're not in charge of anything. We're the minority. I could write my own bill, but why? What reason? You know, this food stamp stuff is going to come out of the bill, or there's not going to be a bill. That's as simple as that. And I got no time to be monkeying around with something that's a fool's errand, and that's what this is. So, yeah. Well, you know, they did separate it last time because they screwed it up with the same amendment that we're now dealing with. You know, they brought forward this work requirement in the last minute of the 2013 bill after they promised that they wouldn't do it. You know, when he put it on the floor, all the Republicans have to vote for it because they've all been campaigning on work requirements, you know. So it passed and the bill failed, you know. And so then in order to resurrect it, they had to split it. And the only reason they got it through was because they had screwed it up. And they went to everybody and said, look, you got to help us do this, get this thing through so we can put it back together. So that's what they did. You know, had they not screwed it up the way they did, I don't think they'd have been able to do that. So at the end of the day, The Republicans can pass a food stamp reform bill, you know, with anything in it, probably. They could probably pass a bill to get rid of food stamps. You know, I don't know. But on the farm side, you know, I don't think if we're a standalone farm bill, I'm not sure we can pass it with what we got currently, you know, with anything that I can end up supporting. There'll be crop insurance amendments. There'll be other amendments that will fail, you know, that will pass, that will cause the farm program to not do what it needs to do. So, I think the right strategy is the strategy that Senator Dole and Humphrey and McGovern and all of the people, Orville Freeman, put forward starting back in the 50s, that we had to have a coalition between the urban people and the rural people to get this done. And that's what we've done for years, and I think it makes sense, as much sense today as it did back in the 50s. And I think it's a mistake to do what they're doing. So if they want to split it, you know, whatever they're going to do, it ain't going to make any difference because they're not going to get it through the Senate. So, yes, sir. Yeah.
And the issues that your farmers are facing in your area and others with the tariffs that are being threatened right now due to the president.
Well, it's a big problem. But the president is doing what he said he was going to do. He campaigned on this. He won the election on this issue, in my opinion. He won Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin on this issue. You know, that he was going to get tough on China, he was going to put tariffs on them, he was going to get these jobs back. That's, you know, nobody questioned at the time what the other side of this thing was going to be, you know, which now we're seeing. You know, it's undermining these markets that we have developed, you know, in agriculture with a lot of hard work. And I don't know what they're going to do. I have no idea. You can't tell with this administration one day to the next what they're going to do, you know, so I'm not going to predict. But from what I can gather from Navarro and Wilbur Ross and those kind of people, they are not backing off one bit on this Chinese stuff. You know, so I think we're going to be facing these tariffs. And that's not going to be good for the price situation. And the prices are already too low. So, the answer is, well, we're going to do a one-time bailout, you know, to protect, you know, to give make the farmers whole. That is a big mistake, and I'm against it. You know, that is not what we ought to be doing. And so if we're going to put money out there, the money should be put into the farm bill, long-term, five-year safety net. That makes sense. To do a one-time bailout is a big mistake. Yeah, back there, I've ignored you a couple times. Well, all the other farmers have to make a choice to sign up for 5 years. That's what we've done with every other program. You know, so if you're going to make a decision between PLC or, you know, ARC, you got to sign up for 5 years. You know, because otherwise they game the system. You know, because what happened with the last farm bill, people signed up for ARC, knowing that they were going to get more money the first couple of years, and then they knew they weren't going to get money the last 3 years, okay? So if we'd have let them do it every year, what would they do? They'd sign up when they get a bunch of money, and then they'd switch, you know? So, this one of the problems with MPP is that people are looking ahead and saying, well, if I'm not going to get any money out of this, then I'm not going to participate, you know? That's their attitude. From what I can tell, this is not a government handout. This is an insurance program. You know, it's to try to by, you know, for if the maximum coverage now under the $9 is $8,100 is the amount, the most that you can spend for that coverage for the maximum protection of $17 milk. You know, so I just think that's a reasonable price to be able to guarantee $17 milk. And it, you should not look at this as whether you're going to get paid or not. You should look at this, your banker should make you look at this, that, you know, if you're a crop farmer, you, if you don't buy insurance, you're not going to get financed. At some point, we need to get the dairy industry in the same regime where the bankers say, okay, you can buy $17 coverage. If you don't, I'm not going to finance your operation. You know, so a year-to-year doesn't give you the certainty, you know, and so forth. And I just, if they don't want to sign up for 5 years, well, they can buy the crop insurance. You know, we're going to have crop insurance for them. And that's going to be a lot more than $8,000, you know, but they'll be able to buy coverage, you know, so they'll have to decide.
Yeah, Mick.
Well, there's nothing in the bill to undermine crop insurance or sugar. Now, those are both in there. You know, crop insurance doesn't need to be in the farm bill. A lot of people don't know this, but it's permanently authorized. So really, crop insurance doesn't even need to be in the farm bill and probably shouldn't be. It probably should be dealt with separately. So they're both, you know, okay in the current bill. I think they're going to be okay in the Senate. And the issue is what happens with amendments. This is one reason I don't want amendments. Because the only thing that can happen is trouble. And it's not going to help pass the bill. It's going to actually make things worse. So I think the only good strategy I can see is just, you know, this is a bad bill. It doesn't even deserve, you know, the respect of being amended. That's what I feel about it. So you know how I feel now.
Is it the bill or the process?
Both. You know, I tell you what, and I don't know what I would do, and I might be the only one on the Democratic side that will say this, but I told Conaway that if you would just not spend all this $23 billion on bureaucracy, I'd be more inclined to support your bill than what you're doing. That's my biggest problem with what they're doing. They're going to spend $9 billion on something that everybody that knows anything about this says is not going to work. And they're doing it so they can say, well, we're taking care of people. You know, we're cutting them off benefits. We're going to give them work training. What they're putting together is not going to work. And it's a waste of money. You might as well take the $9 billion and burn it, in my opinion. So, I mean, I'd be, you know, happier to support it. You know, be honest about it. You know, if you don't work, we're going to cut you off. You're out of luck. You know, I think that's a more legitimate position than what they're doing. So my biggest problem with this bill is all this money they're spending on bureaucracy. And it mystifies me, a party that doesn't like government all that much is the biggest proponent of more government I've ever seen with what they're doing here. So, and then on the other side, going back to the trade issue, you know, I mean, the safety net in here is not adequate. If we have an average crop, below average crop, we're going to have a lot of trouble this fall, this winter. And this bill does nothing to put a floor under that. It keeps the current situation. You know, so it's a bad bill. Yeah. Who knows? I have no idea. You know, that could be the outcome. But, you know, the Senate's going to move the bill. The House is trying to move the bill, both of them in May. So if they move the bill, it goes to conference. That still gives us plenty of time to come back with the bill, you know, out of conference. The problem The bill that's going to come out of conference, I'm not sure the Republicans can support because of what they've done. So that bill is going to require 100 and some votes from Democrats in order to pass, in my opinion. So that's where we're heading if we're going to get a bill done. Whatever they come out of conference with, and I don't know if Conaway can support that. So the thing may just die in conference because he can't support anything that doesn't have his work requirements in it. You know, and I don't know if they're his work requirements. I think they're Paul Ryan's work requirements myself, but, you know, who knows. But, it, you know, he did, Ryan took H.R. 2, which is a welfare reform bill. H.R. 1 was the tax cuts. H.R. 2 was his welfare reform, which he can't get done. And so now he's made the farm bill his welfare reform. You know, and I'll guarantee you, it's not $100 of food stamps that causing people not to work or to work. That it's not the reason that people are not working. It's not food stamps, because they're getting $100 a month. You know, it's not a huge amount of money. So why would you sit in a room and for 80 hours a month take some kind of training that's bogus so you can get $100 of food stamps? Why would you do that? You wouldn't. You know, anybody that's got any sense wouldn't do that. You know, so anyway. Yes, sir. Listen, I cannot explain what's going on with the RFS or with trade out of this White House. I can't explain it. And I've had a lot of farmers in to talk to me about this. And I said, my only explanation is I didn't vote for this guy. Okay? So, you know, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, it changes from day to day. Can you keep up with it? No. I mean, so I sent him a letter Monday, you know, telling them not to do these waivers because that's a bogus issue. You know, these refineries were not in trouble because of the RFS. You know, they're just using that as another way to undermine the program. You know, for those of you in Iowa, the president went down there and made a commitment, thank God. You know, and that's what's the only reason that's the RFS is still there, because he keeps being reminded that he made this commitment in Iowa. And that's the one thing I'll say about the president. He has followed through on what he said. You know, this trade stuff, he said that's what he's going to do, and that's what he's doing. You know, the RFS, so far, he's, you know, there's been a lot of maneuvering around, but at the end of the day, you know, I think the most likely outcome is for them to give it back to Congress. And then if they do that, nothing will happen. You know, so. Huh? You know, he's my buddy. He gave me a set of cufflinks. I had a meeting with him. And he wanted to come over because I was one of the only Democrats voting for all this deregulation, you know. So he comes over to my office. We had a good meeting. At the end of the meeting, he gets up and he says, I got a gift for you. I said, you didn't need to bring me a gift. No, he said, I want you to have this. So he gives me this little box, and in the box is a set of EPA cufflinks. And I said, well, with all due respect, sir, I said, you got a lot of damn work to do before I can wear these in my district. I said, yeah, Joe.
What's it? To hear from MC Canada yesterday and talking about half done dairy. It seems like they're keep digging their heels in.
Well, you know, this, I'll guarantee you, I don't know what's going to happen with NAFTA. You know, I don't know if they're going to withdraw. I don't know what they're going to do. But one thing I can tell you, guarantee you, the Canadian dairy system will not change, period. They are not going to agree to anything. I've told them this, you know, the administration, other people, for a year or two. The Canadians are going to give this up when hell freezes over. Because whoever in Canada agrees to give up their supply management system will lose the next election. That's that simple. And they are not, you know, and Trudeau is from Quebec. And Quebec is where the dairy is. And whoever wins Quebec wins the election in Canada, you know. And I don't know if you folks are aware, but Saputo and Agripor now are the biggest owners of processing of dairy in the United States. They're bigger than Land O'Lakes and DFA, all these other. The only ones bigger are Kraft and Nestle's. They own the majority of our industry. You know why? Because they're making so much money up there and they can't invest it in Canada in the dairy business, which they know. So what do? They come to the U.S., invest it in us. So Agripor, which is a co-op, you know, owns, it's the fourth biggest owner of processing in the United States are Canadian dairy farmers. You know, so I'm going to leave you with this. So I have the Canadian Senate and House in my office, Senate Agriculture Committee. And they're talking to me and telling me how great the dairy program was and all that. And I said, well, yeah, I get it, you know. So at the end of the meeting, they said, is there anything you want from us? I said, yep. I said, here's what I want. I want the authority, I want a 100 cow quota to milk in Canada. So if I could do that, I'd be happy. There's no reaction out of that. So if you have 100 cows in Canada and you have the quota, you're going to make $400,000 a year net. So that's what I said. That's what I want. Give me a quota for 100 cows, I'll be set. It's only 70 miles from my farm. You know, I can go up there and put some cows across the border there in Manitoba, and I'll be set. Yeah. Anyway, thank you all very much.